Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast, Heart to Heart edition. Here's your host for today, Paul Galoro.
Okay, so this guest in today's Heart to Heart, she and I just met like in person, CanFit Pro in August of 2023. Now, it's a funny situation because we're there. It's the 30th celebration of CanFit Pro. We're at this like 30th anniversary fitness thing. And this woman comes, taps me on the shoulder and she's like, "Hey, I saw your video for Fitness Professional of the Year. I think you're amazing. I love your message." And I'm like, "Oh my God." And I was like, "Wow, I felt so honored that Erin Phelan came up to me and said, I think you're an amazing person." And now she is here with me today on the podcast. I am like vibrating from your energy. I can feel it through the screen. For those of you that are listening to this in audio only, Erin, as gorgeous as she is sitting in front of this beautiful sign that says Choose Happy. Off to her side, she has these gorgeous sunflowers that are the same color as her hair.
I know. And one thing that Paul has not said about that little moment is I'm quite involved in the fitness industry. And so I was on the selection committee for choosing the fitness professional of the year and the personal trainer of the year. And so due diligence, I watched everyone's videos and they were all exceptional candidates. But here I am, someone who has basically a morning fitness program, right? So if anything, and this would be a very interesting seg into what we can talk about, if anything, if either of us were different people, it's like this person competes with me or he conflicts with my business or anything like that. But I'm watching this man who is taking all of these people through yoga in the morning and setting their day to a better place. And I was like crying in the video. I remember I was sitting on my front porch watching all these videos last summer and I was like, he's got my vote. Championing him all the way along, which is just, you know, what we should all be doing anyways.
Thank you. And honestly, I like wholeheartedly receive, because you have been, I mean, that was the first time that we met in person. We haven't been in the same place since, but we've been messaging each other, commenting on each other's things on social media, emailing each other back and forth. I mean, if it wasn't for you, I probably wouldn't have like gone forward with the nomination that I received for Impact, Fitness Trainer of the Year, because I was just like, I don't know. And you know, there was all of the questions and I just put out a simple question for you. You're like, yes, do it. And I was like, okay, well, if Erin said, I gotta do it then.
Of course you should. Well, it's funny. I said this to one of my clients recently, and I was like, you know, I think that social media and our industry especially, I think what most of the people who are listening and watching your podcast, they're in our industry. So I think this will be really, people will be able to really relate to this. We have these big ideas that we're supposed to be doing these big, big things. Right? We're supposed to have 100,000 followers and we're supposed to be making so much money off of this branded content. And respect, there are lots of people who are doing that. Awesome. But I said, if I can change someone's world, that's a huge thing, right? And if I can change someone's day, that's a huge thing. And for me, the value of, you know, I once used the analogy, if you think about it, right, like 7 billion people on the planet. How many of them are you going to actually meet in your life? Mm-hmm. And how many of them are you going to meet and actually you're going to impact them or they're going to impact you? And every single person in my fitness community impacts me. Like I've said this to them all the way along, right? And you can relate to that. Like every single person, you know, one of my members, her dog died last week and it was really sudden. And I knew this dog. That's how we all are, right? And when she came on cycling class, I was like, Lisa, is it okay if I tell everyone? She's like, and she was just full of tears, right? And you know, you hold space for each other.
Yes.
And that's what we do in the fitness industry as well. Like, it's like why, like you were, I saw your post about Nathalie, right? Like Nathalie and I work together with the Fitness Industry Council, right? Like, you know, and a lot of these people who I work with, from like Mo Hagan to Nathalie to Sarah Hodson, the president of the Fitness Industry Council, like I've had respect for them for years, right? And now I've grown into one of those instructors and one of those professionals in the industry, and it's cool. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just love, because again, we connected at Camfit Pro, so immediately started following you on the social media. I'm just like, I see the connection, like we are. First of all, what's your sign?
Aries.
Aries. See, fire right there. You're the cardinal fire. I'm the fixed fire. So that's that like passion, that go, that like all that drive, all of that. And I love it. I mean, in the sunflower, that's a fire sign. That's a Leo symbol. So
I love my Leos. I love my Leos so much.
And I love my Aries.
I know. We're like little love story, right?
Actually, there's in my little fitness community. Tonight, I'm meeting with my fire triplicity. We have an Aries. There's me, the Leo, and then we got the Sag. So the three of us get together and we do events at the gym. We just like the three of us.
It.
I mean, you can't shut us up, because what happens when you get three fire signs together?
Oh my gosh, right? Everyone's like exhausted after a few hours.
Except us.
Except for us. We're fueled by it, right? We're like.
Exactly. But Erin, I know we have so much to talk about, but I want, like, we always start every conversation here on the podcast, even though we've already jumped into it, but we start every episode of the Heart to Heart podcast with the question, how is your heart?
My heart is full. And I mean, I know that most people will say that. My heart is actually, can I actually be fully honest? My
yeah.
heart is full, and it's also anxious. And I want to go dive deep into that. So I'm going through massive changes in my life right now. I started a new full-time career along with my business. I have children who used to be babies, and now they are preteens and teens, which is a whole other change. And every night I write in a gratitude journal. So every morning I set intentions and I meditate, and every evening I write in a gratitude journal. And so my heart is always so full, but the anxiousness is I'm about to embark on another massive change in my life. Mm-hmm. And I've been really reflecting on that, because I'm now in the middle of it. I'm in the middle of change, and any of us who we work in the business of change. Right. But sometimes I would say that I've always led with my heart, right? Where I've led with my heart, and my brain and the practicalities of what I want to do have to catch up, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is difficult. And with this big change that I'm going through, I led with my heart. I've got a lot of trust, but I'm kind of in the fire of change right now, and it's uncomfortable.
Oh.
And you feel that in your heart. I've realized that this is why change is so hard for people, for so many of our clients, is that we think it's the voice in the head saying, I'm overweight, or I can never be fit, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. But that voice is ultimately talking to the heart,
mm-hmm.
right? And the heart wants to. The heart wants to, but the voice is going, you can't. Stop. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. And what propels us in life? It's our heart. So it's an interesting dynamic. And I think that being in it right now, you know, I'm a writer as well. I've got a master's degree in journalism. One of my favorite books, I'm rereading it right now. It's by Anne Lamott, and it's called Bird by Bird.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'm rereading it. It's like,
yeah.
And you know, you sit there and you're like going, you know, how do you tackle anything in life? You know, and it's and she uses the analogy that her dad gave when her brother had this massive science project on birds. It's like, and he hadn't started it. And his dad just put his hand on his shoulder and he's like, you do it bird by bird.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what I've tried to say. Like I have a fitness community, and it's funny, one of my students on my yoga class today. So I became a yoga instructor 2022 to 2023. And anyone who knows me and anyone watching this or listening to this podcast is like, her? Because for all of the years that I worked in studios, in fitness studios, it was high intensity interval training, strength training, how hard can you go? How hard can Erin push you? Cycling, go, go, go. And I still love that. That still is about 50, 60% of what I teach every week. But my soul was always calling for yoga and for mindfulness and for meditation. And I became a, of course you become a Pilates instructor first.
Yeah.
It's body, right? Like it's lean body and it's, oh, how hard can I work the TA? And, and with yoga, it's, you have to have so much compassion for yourself.
Yes.
Before you even teach a class, before you even get on the mat, before you walk into the studio. Because if you do not have compassion for yourself, your students will feel that.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. So we are literal like twins because I went to school for journalism, graduated from Humber, started with Pilates first. But for me, what brought me to yoga was because I was doing the high intensity stuff, the boot camps, the circuits, all of that stuff. Then I had this really big digestive system thing that just like took me down, and it brought me to the yoga mat where I was like, okay, this is where my movement is right now. So what was it? You said yoga 21, 22. What brought you?
So that's really interesting. So. And anyone who actually follows me on social media knows this. So I'll do a condensed version. So I believe that actually going back to your first question about the heart, I believe that we all have purpose in this world. And I think that when we're not aligned with that purpose, we feel it. And I've often used the metaphor of it's like driving. It's like when you go to an amusement park and you can feel the smoothness. And if it goes off, you're like, and you're, and you can feel that in every part of your body when you're not doing the right thing. Every part of your body. And so I found fitness when I was 19. And I was a YMCA step high low aerobics instructor. So I do a lot of cardio in little reels and things like that, because that's like, it's my calling. And so my dad, he passed away when I was 10 years old of a heart attack. And I've often said that I feel as though I was propelled and pushed to a life of exercise with that beating heart, right? But then I bookended it, and my mom passed away in 2021, very suddenly. Wow. So I've lost, you know, my brother and I looked at each other, we're like, wow, we're like orphans at 50. Like, that's just, and there's a lot of people who are, right? There's a lot of us out there. And grief sucks. But I was stuck in grief, stuck. I was teaching, I was writing, I was lobbying the government for the FIC. I was going through the motions of life, but I was stuck. And a voice just said to me a year after my mom died, yoga. And I live in the East End of Toronto, and the yoga sanctuary is somewhere that I have always loved. And I Googled them to see if they had teacher training. And lo and behold, Cynthia messaged me right back. So her name's Cynthia Funk. And she's a legend in Toronto. And we talked on the phone for like 2 hours. And I was like, I am not mobile. I am not flexible. I am tight AF. Like, can I be a yoga instructor? But I understand the human body very well. I'm certified up yin yang with CanFit Pro, everything. And I love it too. Like I probably would have gone back and done a kinesiology degree. Like I love movement. And she's like, absolutely. And every time we would demo in class, like let's imagine you have a really tight client. Aaron, would you come up and be like, you know, they're all, we're doing the weekends that we're doing vinyasa, like they've got the yoga blocks and the guys are kicking through and I'm just sitting back like this. So like, you don't want to try it? I'm like, nope.
Like, I'll just watch.
I'm like, I'm never going to teach that. Like, you know thyself. I can observe, I can watch, but like, I will teach hatha. And my class that I teach on Friday mornings, I taught it this morning, is called Flow. And I set it entirely to music, to like playlists, actual playlists. And it is song by song by song by song. And the music is almost like more important than the class.
Yeah.
So that's what brought me to yoga. And now, and the best thing about yoga, very similar to meditation, is you always feel like a beginner.
Yeah.
You always feel like a beginner, always. Like, and it's very different from HIIT or from
Yeah.
strength training. Like, that's like with strength training, like I am the definition of Malcolm Gladwell, like 10,000 hours. Like, I know how to layer, make progress. Like, I understand compound movements. I understand how to put things together perfectly so that you can fatigue and this and that. But with yoga, I'm like, there's still so much to discover. Still much.
You know what? It's amazing because, like, I was just in, I assisted Lisa Greenbaum in a yoga teacher training this past weekend. And it was advanced postures and sequencing. And, like, these are poses that I've taught, some of the poses I've taught in teacher trainings before. I've experienced them. But for whatever reason, that day, that time, that weekend, that point in my life, I'm now a man of a certain age. Doing those postures felt like I was in a whole new body. It was also my first in-person teacher training in God knows how long at this point, you know what I mean? But it was so cool. But like you said, it's there, I don't, I mean, I've been teaching for yoga, teaching yoga for nearly 15, 16 years, been practicing since high school, but I still feel like I'm brand new.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, I think that that's, and I've often been, I often find that I gravitate towards people in our industry, whether you are yoga, Pilates, personal training, anything like that, who are very interested in continuing education and not just like CECs so you can stay current. Like, we need to, I mean, and you and I both know this. It's sort of like I have a health coaching program. The sunflower is the logo of my health coaching program, the Healthy Six. And I do three cohorts a year. We've just finished one for winter now. The winter one's always the toughest because you're asking people to give up sugar and alcohol for 6 weeks. But what I say to them in every cohort is the program changes all the time because health is changing all the time. So the example would be when we launched this program in 2020, it was right at the heart of it was like 3 months into the pandemic. Everyone was eating sourdough bread and banana bread and they'd all put on weight. And I was meanwhile teaching 9,000 exercise classes a day to stay sane because I just launched a virtual business and I was teaching all the time. And we white knuckled it. We were like, everyone give up sugar, everyone give up. And now, 4 years later, I'm like, I'm going to teach you these things. What I'm going to teach you already know. But you know that an anti-inflammatory diet is going to be good for your body. You know that moving your body every day is essential. You know that having a sleep routine is essential. Like, we know what to do. And as health coaches, we understand the pain points of someone who's put on 40 or 50 pounds. But it's also that things change all the time. We used to think, nightshades were highly inflammatory, right? And so people took out tomatoes out of their diet. And that's why I think that if you're in this industry and you're not changing and you're not growing and you're not learning,
Oh my gosh, Aaron, like you it's interesting because one of the places that I teach, when I stepped in there, it was interesting because I'm like, it feels like it's 2001 in here. And just the environment and some of my colleagues, I'm like, oh, there hasn't been much progress since then. That's why it feels like that. But there is a, like, you can tell. I mean, as a fitness professional, I can tell when I'm in the presence of other fitness professionals that have grown and progressed with the times, right? Not just sticking to what's the trend and what's current, or not the current, like what's the trendy thing, or what's the, there's this underlying message that's been in the fitness industry this entire time that is, you're not good enough. And it almost is like they stayed there. But then there's like the ones that have grown and evolved. And it's like, oh no, we're all great. And this is what we're learning about the body now. And this is what we know about the body. Oh, and this is what we know about the mind when we bring it into connection with the body. And that's the part that I think really stands out like an exceptional fitness professional that understands the mind. It's not just the fitness, it's the wellness that's in that.
At the end of the day, like mindset is, it's why, you know, there's a ton of people online now who are like fitness and mindset coaches, right? They're not just fitness coaches, they're fitness and mindset, and they're making millions of dollars being mindset coaches. Here's where I will play a devil's advocate here. I don't think you can coach someone's mind. I think that is the hardest thing to try to change. Mm-hmm. I think that we succeed with our clients when they have a felt experience in their body and in their soul and in their heart. They have to have the feeling of the perfect example. Monday mornings, I teach Tabata. I've had, you know, and I'm not like millions of people in my class. I'll have like 7 to 12 in my classes, right, in the mornings. Mm-hmm. Lots of people do them recorded afterwards. But for years, they've been trying to get me to take Tabata off the schedule on Monday mornings. For years, years, years. And I'm like, nope, we're sticking Monday morning, 7 a.m. Tabata. And Paul, why do you think I have Tabata, one of the harder classes, 7 a.m. on a Monday? Because by 7:40 on a Monday, they already have the biggest dopamine hit. Mm-hmm. They have an endorphin hit. They have oxytocin going through them. They have serotonin going through them. And we haven't hit 8 o'clock on a Monday morning. So they've already started their week feeling successful.
Yeah.
I have a 66-year-old woman in my program who a couple weeks ago was like, I went up to 10 pound dumbbells. And the whole group was like, and that's a felt experience.
Yeah.
It's feeling the squat. It's feeling the shoulders. It's feeling DOMS. It's doing one of your meditations and feeling it in your heart. Mm-hmm. The only way people change is when they feel it.
Yeah.
And that is why I think that the whole concept of mindset, you know what? Someone said to me, it's like, oh my God, Aaron, I had a cookie. I'm like, uh-huh. And the rule in the healthy six is, so you fall off the beam or next choice is a healthy choice. That's it. Mm-hmm. Mm. That's it.
Yeah.
It's so simplistic, but it's like, you know, I'm under a huge amount of stress right now. I had 4 cookies for dinner the other night. I'm a health coach, right? It happens. Yeah. It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
It goes back to compassion too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you said there. Like, it's about the feeling. And I've always said this, and now I just kind of want to shift gears from the body to the emotion, because I've always said it's like we're here as humans and we have the joy and the pleasure of experiencing a spectrum of human emotion. And oftentimes, you know, we step into this world and we think everything's got to be happy. It's got to be disco balls and champagne bottles all the time. And not always, right? It's not always that. There's the times where you experience a loss, or there's a time where you learn something about yourself, or something happens to your body where you can't quite do the things that you used to be able to do. And it's, you know, you said a moment ago, grief sucks. Totally, it does. And also, we need to like go through it. We need to experience it. The only way for the emotion to like make its way through ourselves, our bodies, the circuit, is to feel it.
When my mom died, so my mom was, and I mean, people who didn't even know her, like people who were Facebook friends and Instagram friends, they followed our antics for years, right? Because it would be like International Women's Day, I probably should do a post for my mom, because my mom was the strongest woman I knew. Mm. And for years, she was putting all of these ideas into my head that I was that strong too. And I've only realized since her passing how much there were these little micro messages that just were like being absorbed by my soul. But when she died, and suddenly, like, she was in my house the night before and I found her body the next day, like, it was not just death, it was trauma. And I was on May 14th, I will celebrate 10 years of sobriety. And I was 8 years sober when she died, 7 years sober. And I will tell you this. There was one night the kids went to their dad. I'm divorced. My marriage and alcohol ended pretty much the same day. And I opened up the fridge, and my brother and my sister-in-law, they casually drank, right? Like most people do, which is fine. I'm a very different sober person now than I was year one. But it was my bottle of wine. It was my brand. And my mom had been dead about 3 weeks, and no one was in the house. And I opened up the bottle of wine, and it was a crisp Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. And I took a smell, and it smelled delicious. Like it was like, oh. And I knew what it would be like, because I spent 26 years drinking. And I knew that I would have a glass of wine and I would feel so good for a second. But just for a second, I'd be like, oh. But I was 7 years sober and I knew the rabbit hole. And I knew it would lead to so much more than that. I knew it would lead me away from who I am and who I have fought so hard to be. And so not like a dramatic movie, like pouring it down the sink. I didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
Because the life that I have created is so much better. And what I realized on that night, as I sat on the sofa and just cried my eyes out about my mother, is you have to feel that too. If you want everything in life, if you want joy, if you want those champagne pops, if you want the disco roller skating meme, if you want all of that ecstatic stuff, you have to be willing to experience the lows, because you will never experience the highs unless you experience the lows.
Oh,
lows suck. They suck, but they train us. You know, I mean, it's my mother had so many one-liners. And this is a woman who lost her mother and then my father, her husband, in the span of 10 months. So my mom lost her mom in June 82 and then my dad in March 83. And my mother was English and she said, "Darling girl, life is a tragedy. The sooner you realize that, the happier you will be." And wow. It's true. You know, I want to laugh more. That's one of my goals for 2024. I want to laugh more. I'm funny, but I want to laugh more. And then I'm like, maybe there's just not that much that we're laughing at right now. In general, right? Like life can be heavy. When you run your own business, life is heavy, right? When you are a working mother or a working father or anything like that, life is heavy. When you're going through a renovation or there's jobs to do or you're doing groceries, like life is heavy. When you're looking outside at a spring that really isn't due for another month or so, and you're feeling climate anxiety, life is heavy. You know, when you're realizing that there are wars that are going on in the world right now that we have no control over, life is heavy. When interest rates are through the roof, when people can't afford food, like life is heavy. So I think, again, it comes back to compassion. It's okay if you are not living your best life. That is such a thing about our industry that bothers me to no end, right? We are these fit, hard bodies, pushing our best lives, doing the best we can. We're like, I wake up, like these 23-year-old influencers, I wake up in the morning and I drink 2 gallons of water and then I have my protein and then I do this and then I walk my dog and I make dip, 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 dip. You know, like, can we recognize that what we are doing in the health and fitness industry, what I hope, what I aspire that at least 10% of us are doing, is really actually trying to change lives?
Yes.
Trying to make an impact on chronic health conditions, trying to make an impact on mental health, trying to reduce cardiovascular disease in this society. Seeing the tsunami coming towards us of healthcare costs that we are not going to be able to afford, and our children and our grandchildren are not going to be able to afford it. And the number one thing that we can do is exercise, eat well, and not smoke to mitigate all of these lifestyle conditions that are plaguing our hospitals. and not be preachy about it.
Yes.
No one's ever going to be motivated. It's like you might have heart disease one day if you stop, don't exercise. No one's motivated by that.
Yeah.
People are motivated by, oh my God, I felt so good after that class.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so good after that exercise snack. Mm-hmm. I felt so good when I went for a 10-minute walk today. Again, how do we as professionals get people to realize that what we're doing is feeling? It's probably why I love Irene Cara so much.
Mm.
I hope that you can, like, when you edit this, I want this when there's nothing.
But a slow blowing dream. Girl, we are just going to sing it for them.
Deep inside.
But like,
what a feeling.
Exactly. What a feeling. Like, you, like that. I mean, I joke about it. And for the longest time, I think my parents thought I was Jane Fonda. Like, that's the kind of work that I was doing out in the world. But like, come on, when you put your leg warmers and leotard on and you do a workout, what a feeling, am I right?
What a feeling. Let's talk about Jane. So like when we, and with grief, it's a very interesting thing because I somewhat believe that one of the chapters of my career is going to be grief and exercise. Hmm. I've been on breakfast television doing a segment. I'm going to go back and do another segment about grief and exercise. But rewind back to Erin as a teenager, right? So Erin is a teenager. Her mom has lost her mind because she's now a widow with a 13-year-old boy who's just lost his dad and an 11-year-old girl. And my mom had to hit the ground basically running. And she became one of the most successful real estate agents in Quebec. And so I was like this kid who her mom was, I was in a small town. So I saw my mom a lot, but I was also like, you know, I was babysitting and I was active, but I discovered Jane Fonda. And I found one video and then my mom bought me like the box set for Christmas. And so every afternoon I would come home from school and I would do Jane's little leg lifts and Jane's everything. And like, I would pop on a video. And what I didn't realize at the time, and I found running the same way. Like I was like, oh my gosh, that was fun. Let me put on some shoes and run around the block. And what I didn't realize at the time was I was finding a solution for my grief.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not analyzing it when you're 12.
Yeah.
You're not, and you certainly weren't in the 80s or the 90s, or even I'd say the 2000s, right? Like we've only really started to make the connections. And I mean, we're really just at the beginning of this beginning of the real understanding of movement. It's like when we were talking about education, you know, I do now 15 minutes of mobility before my class every morning. I got badly injured last year. You were talking, you mentioned that. I was like, oh, did he know? I think I told him that. So I was doing a dumbbell thruster. If those of you who don't know, it's basically a burpee on crack. So a dumbbell thruster is you take a very heavy dumbbell and you lift it up and you drop it to the floor and you kick back to plank and then you do a push-up. Super hard move. Yeah. I didn't engage my core.
Mm.
And I felt my low back just go.
Oh.
I couldn't walk for 6 weeks.
Oh gosh.
6 weeks. I was terrified because I was like Tigger without the bounce. The wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tiggers are wonderful things. And I am Tigger. And here I am going, what am I going to do? I have a fitness business. I have 1,500 recorded classes from 4 years, more. So there is a portal where all my classes live and I've got a private Instagram. So my regulars, my core sort of 30, 40 members, they were like, no worries. I lost 2 members during this period of time. And those are not the clients you want.
Yeah.
And everyone else was like, don't worry, we just want you well. But it, when I got better and got back to teaching, it really was kind of a sink or swim. Like I can't, my body is older. My body still wants to do a DB thruster, but maybe I don't need 30 pounds. Maybe I can do 20 pounds maybe I can do it unloaded. And maybe I can offer my clients way more options because they might need that too. So it's brought more compassion to me teaching, which we should all have anyways. I mean, how many times have you gone to someone's class? Me included. I remember I went to this step class one time and I was like, and all of her regulars, everyone was following. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. Like, this choreography is so advanced. I was on a workshop a few weeks ago and one of the guys, and I was like, nailed it. He was like, we killed step. We killed it. We killed step because we made it too hard and too confusing with our glorious choreography, right? Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, step was one of my favorite things to teach, repeat her knees. So I'm in this class and she comes over to me and she's like, super patronizing. She's like, oh, you know, I'm sure you'll get it. And I was like, here I am. I was probably a pretty green instructor, maybe 5 years into teaching, but I was like, I knew enough them going, no, you need to be teaching this so that all levels in your room can do
the can work. Feel successful. Yeah,
everyone needs to feel successful at the end.
Exactly. You know, it's so funny you say that. I was in a yoga class a couple weeks ago and I swear the instructor was gaslighting us, because on one hand she was like, oh, everything that I'm saying is a suggestion, so do what feels good in your body. And then on the other hand, somebody went into like plank instead of downward dog or vice versa, and she's like, that's not what we're in right now. And I was like, whoa, okay, hold on. First of all, you know, here's something, and I would love to know your take on this. I truly believe, and I was explaining this to one of my friends and she didn't quite get it, but I fully believe that if you're teaching now the way we were teaching prior to March 15, 2020, you are disservicing everybody that you're teaching, regardless of what you're teaching. Because we have, as a collective, I'm talking every, there's not one single person on this planet that wasn't affected by the events of 20 and 21 and 22. That if you're still teaching that go hard or go home kind of thing, it's I think it's doing more harm than we think it is.
And you know what? I was at an event a few weeks ago and I was like, I wasn't teaching there. It was like a women in business event. And I had the exact same conversation. I'm like, what really bothers me though, a lot about what you've just said, is that we're in this now epic, you use the word and I'll reuse it, epic society of gaslighting.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've pushed everyone back into the world.
Yes.
And everyone said, screw you. And CEOs and bosses are like demanding people go back to the office and they're losing people left, right, and center. Applause.
Yeah.
Why the heck do you have to drive 2 hours to go and do the same job that you're doing? They seem to think that none of us are working when we're at home.
Right.
In our full-time jobs. Meanwhile, anyone who's listening or watching this podcast is probably working at 8 o'clock at night, often to get something done.
Yeah.
They're not just clocking out at 5 o'clock.
Right.
But with our industry and with our world, it's, you know, I want, and you and I have to do a fitness event together, honey. We have to do something together because I want, and we should call it the feeling. Like we should call it.
Yes.
We should call it the feeling because I want people to walk into our class and maybe it's cardio, maybe it's high low, maybe it's yoga, maybe it's everything. Maybe we do the ultimate mashup.
Yes.
And I want people to walk out and I want them to walk in the door and go, we know you're hurting in some way. Because that's why we're all hurting.
Mm-hmm.
We're all hurting. Everyone lost. We lost a world. And now we're scrambling to regain it compared to rebuild it.
Yes. Yeah.
And
God, yeah.
I don't know how that's all going to work out. I have a friend who is a meditation and a feng shui expert, and she and I were doing a session and she was like, the next 20 years are going to be hard for us as a society. I was like, whoo, wait a, I was like, that's heavy.
Yeah.
Like, but you're just like, can't really argue with her. Right.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, when you open up the news and it's like the Arctic Ocean is not going to freeze. I'm like, whoo, that's not going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because when you look at the astrology of it, also the astrology is saying there's going to be some massive changes, especially with Pluto moving into Aquarius. I won't get into the details here, but lots of changes are up ahead for the next 20 years. But I know as a fitness professional, as a wellness professional, as an astrologer, as all the things that I, all the little hats that I wear, I mean, I'm always going to be Paul Galoro, and my intention has always been to just help people tap into their joy, their inner joy, that to me is our, it's a natural state of being. It's not something that we find. It's not something that you do to bring you joy. Like, joy is the truth of who we are, and everything that we do is just meant, it's like removing the layers that weigh down our joy. That's how I see it. But I was going somewhere with this. But it is my hope that we just get people in this industry and what we're doing, like I said in my acceptance speech of the award, is that we rebuild what we have lost with more love, leading with the heart, because everyone has been affected. We all need to just kind of like slow down, come back home. And also, us as professionals, this is where I was going with it, is we can help people get through those next 20 years that are going to be tumultuous. Mm-hmm. Because as much as, like, I mean, I say I'm looking at the astrology of it, and yes, but just like when I know it's going to rain, I bring an umbrella. I'm still going to dress myself to be dry as best as I can. Now, if I know, okay, we're in a very challenging time in history in our world right now, if I know this, then I can do the things that I need to do to stay as best in myself, in my body, grounded, take care of myself as best as I can, process the emotions that I need to process, grieve the things that I need to grieve, breathe through the things that I need to breathe through, still do those things, and still feel all the challenging things that are being felt at this time. And I think it's our role as professionals to give people those tools.
Couldn't agree more. This sign, I find it like, and I've said this with that my fitness community knows that there's a little bit of, not facetiousness to choose happy, but that's what they see every day when they're working out with me. And I've been like, you can't choose happy, but you can choose actions. People, mm-hmm. directions, activities, food. Like, you can actually make tangible decisions that lead to happiness, joy, flow,
yeah,
contentment. You know, one of my favorite people in the world, she quoted this back to me. She was my sponsor initially when I got sober, and she was like, she heard someone say once, maybe the point is not to be happy in this world. Maybe the point is to be at peace.
Mm.
And I think that when we find ourselves more at peace, we want more of it. And yeah. It's analogous to everything. When we find ourselves feeling really good in our body, like, my mobility journey really just started last August, right? I feel so excited about that. I'm like, I'm doing some training in May with the pain-free certification. And and these are areas that I want to expand and explore in, because, like, I don't care whether or not, like, those guys who you see on Instagram who are doing deep knee bends, that is not me. You do that, you're 35, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not me. But can my body move better? Yeah. Absolutely. Can all of our bodies move better? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you decide that you want to have like poutine one night because you just love poutine, amazing. But the next morning, can you wake up and have a beautiful green smoothie with cucumber and lime and ginger and chia seeds and flush with a lot of water? Absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know the food that's going to make your insides happy. You know movement's gonna make your insides happy. You know not scrolling at 12 o'clock at night on your phone and going, I've gotta get up at 6:30. Oh God, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why? And then putting it away, and then your brain is completely wired because you've just had blue light in your eyes for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, but again, this is where it goes back to, can we really coach mindset? No, mm-hmm. We have to lead people through and have them have the felt experience. Feel what it's like. I don't know how many people you've had join your community and then leave, like they were expecting something else, right? You know, yeah. like they were expecting much more, or, you know, and now I'm really unapologetic about it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I teach live fitness classes. I have health coaching. I'm accountability. I'm inspiration. I'm a coach. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to be a part of it, amazing. And if you don't, there will be someone out there for you.
Yes.
Right? I don't have to have everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to be a millionaire. Who wouldn't? But I know a lot of millionaires. Some of them are really miserable.
this is true. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Erin, I mean, I feel like we only just like scratched the surface. There is so much more that we can get into. And I want to keep talking to you forever. But can we just circle back real quick, like, to this ultra mashup fitness experience that we're going to create all about around feeling? Like, sign me up. I would love to, you know. Oh, and I hope somebody at Can't Fit Pro is listening to this. Years ago, I think it was 2015, the year that I won Specialty Presenter of the Year, I presented something at the time I had called Chakra Dance Party, and we danced through all the chakras.
I seen that on the schedule, and I never went to it because I was like doing something else. Damn it.
Oh, girl. I mean, it was so much fun. Actually, there were the year that I'm talking about in particular, there were so many people in that room. There was such an energy, this high vibration. At the end, I had it because it's based on Osho meditation. You're dancing intensely for like 25 minutes and then boom, right to the ground, meditate. And everyone came down, their nervous system started to relax. And then people were like bursting into tears left, right, and center. That I myself started to cry. And it was just like that was
shivers.
Ever. Yeah, I'm feeling it. That will forever be like ingrained in my being because there's such a beauty to moving freely. Cause it wasn't me, I wasn't choreographing anything. I said, here's a move, do it like this if you want. And then at one point we were doing like partner meditation, staring in each other's eyes, dancing intensely to Britney Spears, Keep on Dancing Till the World Ends. And it was amazing. So anyways, we need to do something like that.
We need to do that. And you know what we do it? Like we do it as, we will call the class The Feeling and we will brand it. It will be you and me.
Yeah.
And that as well as like I have like I do these exercise snacks, so like I will do like a squat track to Under Pressure from Queen. Right,
brilliant.
And have everyone go, there's strength, there's yoga, there's dance, there's this, like this is like your sample of feelings.
Yes,
because what we want is we want you to come away from it and your body going, I don't know what that was,
but I'm here for it.
Sign me up for more. Because absolutely. That was, you know, that was music and movement and intention. And you know, I sit there and I think someone said to me, they were talking about retiring. And I'm like, I'm never going to retire. I don't believe that I'm ever going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Because the work of inspiring people to exercise, the work that I do with the Fitness Industry Council, the work that I do with Matrix, the work that I do on my own, is we have an inactivity crisis still.
Mm-hmm.
Still. The needle went from not very good to horrific during the pandemic. And everyone's like, I thought people really started working out more. No, statistically, the people who exercised went here.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who were hard sells but were paying gym memberships went here.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone else who was sedentary basically lay down for like several years. So that hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Right. And I have often said that our role in the fitness industry, we are culpable.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have made it seem like a party that you didn't get invited to. We have made it seem like a closed door club where you've got to be fit to enter the door.
Right.
You know, and all of the body positivity, all like I applaud all of it. And that is what I'm saying is a sweeping generalization because there's so many inclusive spaces. You and I are, there are, thank God, thousands of us out there, but there are still, there's still a fundamental shift that has to take place. Mm-hmm. That is all embracing, that is all encompassing, that is all body types, that is all fitness levels, that is based on the one thing that we know to be true. Every single person on the planet needs 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous exercise a week.
Mm.
Every single person needs to get that.
Yeah.
And you can't sit there and say, well, what about 70? No.
No.
If you look at the data, you look at the research, you look at the WHO, the United Nations, the Canadian government, every single piece of data shows 150 minutes. And because even though we don't want to say this, today is International Women's Day, the best stuff about women for women is that women who exercise will reap the benefits of exercise in less time than men.
Mm-hmm.
They will reap cardiovascular benefits and longevity, but there still are no shortcuts. There's still no hacks. You will never hear me say the word hack in any of my programming.
Yeah.
I think the hack is just an extension of what's wrong with the fitness industry. Let me tell you this hack. Let me tell you this hack. This is a great hack. No, move your body, drink water, eat an anti-inflammatory diet. Don't sweat. Sweat a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we're going to have our big, the feeling sweat fest.
Yeah.
We're going to make
say,
this
I
happen.
Say May or June. May or June.
Let's do it. Both.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to look for a space. I know there's actually quite a few spaces that are, that
yeah.
would be easy. I think we would sell that out.
I agree. And everyone listening here is going to be messaging us. When's it happening? When's it happening? So, Erin, we're going to make it happen.
Make this happen.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Listeners, check out the show's notes because all of Erin's contact info is there, how you can follow her on the Instagram, website, etc. So check that out. Erin, I love you so much. Oh, my little spark of fire, Aries.
And honestly, like one of my friends and I've said this many times, it's like, I'll go back to the 7 billion people on the planet. Like we are all, it's like a giant billiards ball table. Don't think about a pool table, but like billiards, like these big ones, right? And we are, like, what are the chances? Like, how many people were born in Toronto? No, a lot of us moved here, right? Like,
yeah.
You're in a geographic place, in a geographic time, or in an industry where I meet Paul and Paul meets me, right? Mm-hmm. And now we're friends. You know,
yeah.
But this time last year, we didn't even know each other.
Didn't even know.
Which is so exciting to me, right? Like, yeah. It's so exciting that
yeah.
That there are probably so many people that you are still going to meet in this life that you are going to love.
Yes.
Like, how great is that? That you're going to fall in love with other people and not just romantically, right? Like you're just going to fall in love with your friends,
yes.
new friends and new people and new participants. And you know what? Like that's the adventure of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my mom went through so many hard things, but she was so positive because when you've had hard things happen to you, the opposite of that is that, you know, you don't want the opposite of that.
Yeah. Well, if we go back to your sign, when you've had all those things happen, you really have only one choice, right? Erin, I love you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your heart and your passion and your spark with everyone today. Listeners, like I said, check out the show's notes and stay tuned for when we have more information on the feeling.
The feeling.
I love it. And I love you. Thank you so much.
I love you too. And now he's gonna edit this with Irene Cara. What a feeling.
Girl, I don't know how much money you think this podcast is making, but I can't afford those royalties. Anyways,
I'm kidding. Now I'm dancing for my life.
But you know what, listeners? You can enjoy the closing credits to Heart to Heart, the Living Spiritfully podcast. We'll see you next time.
Spiritfully podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galaro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.